Blog Talk Radio.
Smart Sound. Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A and Mr. Edwards over there in Studio B. Mr. Edwards, it looks like another rainy day here locally, but we're live on the air. How are you?
Yeah, we sure are, Don. And this is the kind of weather you get in October, right up until the early part of November. You know, it has been a lot of precipitation, a lot of rain in throughout the entire North American continent, if you will. I don't know if there's an environmental problem that we aren't being told about, but then, you know, as black people, we're not smart enough to know and understand it. But there are some problems out there. You know, we've got flooding in southern Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, and yet you got drought beyond that line, middle Iowa, and all the way down to Kansas City and to Kansas and et cetera. So I don't know what's happening, brother. You just hope that, you know, we don't look up and the man talks in terms that there's some big comet coming our way. So everything's going on.
Yeah.
A lot of tension and stuff in the city, man. You said
want
to touch on Kavanaugh, Keith Ellison, and et cetera, man. So let's go ahead and kick it, man. Rock with it. Oh, give the phone number, man. Open that phone line. Phone line's open, man.
Phone lines are wide open. This number 347-426-3904. Get a number 347-426-3904. And we are live on the air. We welcome your calls, comments, suggestions, whatever. Mr. Edwards, you know that this is the same old, but last night about 9:45, Sergeant Green released a story. Hennepin County reports finds stark traffic disparities in traffic stops, meaning that they're pulling over a lot of black people, basically. And when those kind of articles are posted in the Star Tribune, Mr. Edwards, I like to go to the comment section just to see how crazy it is out there. And I'm looking here, and you have one guy says, I have an unconscious bias, let the cops do their damn job. Hey, you don't like being stopped by the cops? Don't give them a reason to stop you. That's what Kroll said in the article.
Now you say Kroll, you're talking about a big Bobby Kroll?
Big
president
Bobby Kroll,
of the big powerful Minneapolis Police Federation, Bobby Kroll, said that if you don't want to do don't get stopped. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, and I don't know why the Star Tribune went with this, Mr. Edwards, because, I mean, I'm not seeing a link to the report, but I would imagine that the people that are getting stopped for these minor infractions, loud mufflers, window broken, bumper off, and things like that, are somewhere in the lower income range or might be unemployed and not able to get that fixed right away, which is understandable. We all been there at one point. But the thing is, a lot of these people happen to be people of color, people that look like you and I, Mr. Edwards. And the number is real high, and I think, I mean, I'm conclude, my premise is that it is intentional because of the reason of the muffler and the person who is sitting behind the steering wheel. You know, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not take this opportunity to find out who this person is? And I'm talking about profiling, basically. I'm not saying all officers do that, but I'm saying that it's a problem, and they just happen to be black, Latino, Native American. And if you look at that,
the guy you're talking about, real story, is the only colored journalist male that they have down there named Labor's Jamie. He likes to write about stuff like that. But you say there's no linkage to the Hennepin County report, what department of Hennepin County issued the report. I'm not surprised, Don, by any report like that. We've been aware for many years. I mean, hell, I was given testimony 30 years ago before a special commission of the Minnesota Supreme Court at the government center back then that gave testimony with regards to that. Heard some of that discussion the other night at a big gala affair at the Historical Society in St. Paul. Comcast and NBC did a big piece here interviewed some individuals, Spike Moss, Dr. Joseph Johnson, Mahmoud Al-Khati, the mayor of St. Paul, that was one of those that was interviewed. Former Mayor Sharon Sells Belton, who seemed to be the only person close to being factual. Maybe this is something they can talk about. There will be next Friday or something like that, there will be a big event in midday, though. I don't quite understand that, at the Davis Center there, Minneapolis Public Schools facility. Some professors from the University of Minnesota and others that are talking about what brought about the uprisings in North Minneapolis in 1967. I was surprised they didn't do anything in 67 because that would have been the 50th anniversary. Maybe some people can call in and enlighten us about the disturbances in 1967 to 66 and 65 and 1968, because it was stuff like that that caused young and old African Americans, or Negroes as we were called, to take to the streets, if you will, National Guard called in, all that kind of stuff. You've got all the remnants. Don, another series of events, confrontation, talking about history, if you will. In fact, I think one of the people that's taught me about being a historian on this is somebody from the University of Minnesota. I think we may have been on a radio program with him at KFI about 4 or 5 years ago. But anyway, yeah, I'm not surprised. Okay. And unless you can find a copy of the report and they distinctly, individually, with specificity and detail indicate, you know, how long this study took place, what period of time, and et cetera. And, you know, what does the law enforcement mean? What does the sheriff of Denver County, Big Rick Stanek, what does he say about it? What does the chief of the Minneapolis Police Department, who apparently is getting ready to go in and meet with the mayor here in the next couple of days to determine his fate, if he'll be reappointed as permanent chief of the department. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on, man. But I know we got some callers and things out there that know all about it. We got a big group, big delegation down in Orlando, Florida, as we're speaking right now. They are in a leadership position deal with everything from assaults, particularly the homicides. They will be a special civilian unit that will be accompanying the homicide unit, which I kind of worry about what the legal implications are. But, hey, it's not mine to worry with, brother. So that's we've got all of that. And so the phone lines are open on any discussions about that study. I don't know. It's interesting. Maybe we can get Lamore's genie to call in, you know, and that you say he was the writer of the story. But right now, what are you thinking on Kavanaugh? They should be voting on him this morning, and he should be confirmed and become the next Supreme Court justice, filling that vacant ninth seat. How do you read it? What do you think?
Well, for this show, I don't know this judge that well. I don't know what he did in high school, nor do I care. I know there was an allegation, and I just think that the process is broken. And I think there's too much.
Is that the same process that was used with that Navy Hill back in 1991? Is that what you're saying, Don, from the right? I mean, come on.
It's been broken from, like you said, Anita Hill on, because Anita Hill said some things that, I mean, everything she said, I believed her. Okay, but yet, is a city.
There wasn't a burden
of
proof. Is that what you're saying, Tom? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not
saying
there
wasn't a burden
of
proof. I want to hear what some of the folks are saying. Yeah,
yeah.
There wasn't a burden of proof.
No,
it was interesting what you said. let me just ask you this, Don, particularly in light of what happened to Bill Cosby. So you're saying what he did in high school or what he did 36 years ago is not relevant. So should that Bill Cosby have been held to that same standard?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not saying that
he's gonna
die. It's not relevant. But Ms. Everett, if you look at the, like, if you're a juvenile and you do some things and you break the law, you can't carry that record after you're 18. That kind of gets tucked away somewhere. You can't go back and reference that
if you act up when you're adult.
Oh, John, that's not true. I can
depending
I can
on how seriously.
No, no, that's not true. That information is not redacted, man. That, you know, there's some black folks right here. In fact, we've got some folks. We had a guy last week called in this program that has a criminal juvenile record, and they still reference it. You know, we're talking about the guy we had as guest last week. Now that's
mm-hmm.
not correct. Man. That's not correct. Now, you think that it was about Senator Bobby Joe Champion was telling community that he passed some legislation 2 years ago, and all that's redacted and retracted and all of that, but that's
yeah.
just not true.
And that's why I was basing
yeah,
my
that,
conversation
that, that,
on, you know, because that's what Senator Bobby Joe Champion said, that the stuff is not going to be affecting you as an adult, but obviously, like you said, it does. But getting back
yeah,
to the Kavanaugh
it,
piece,
it definitely does.
By the way, on that particular note,
I understand we're down to 4.9% unemployment in America here, the lowest in 49 years. It's,
wow.
So that means a lot of these young Negroes that we see out here who aren't working in a set of eight, they're not working because they don't want to work. Or I mean, how do we deal with that?
I don't know, Mr. Edwards. That's a tough one, but that's been an ongoing thing for the last 50 years. The unemployment
mm-hmm.
rate keeps going down. They tell us that publicly. In our eyes, or in your eyes, let's just say, and the observations on the data on the ground shows that there are people that are not working that want to work. And they just happen to be, especially in the Twin Cities, people of color, black men and women, more so black men.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
when you look at that data, and then you look at the data per zip codes, the zip code might tell you that there's double-digit unemployment in 55411, which is North Minneapolis.
And you've used that before. I remember you mentioned that quite a few
yeah.
times on,
yeah.
on our programs.
So,
yeah,
but
yeah,
confusing.
Yeah. And no one can explain why there's so many unemployed people in some of those zip codes. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, and there's a professor out there. His name is Dr. Mason. And he said sometimes.
Dr. who?
Dr. Jesse Mason.
Okay.
He's where is he now? He's at Century College. He's a dean of students over there, if I'm not mistaken. But
mm-hmm.
he said he's a psychology teacher, and he said sometimes
wow.
people misuse statistics or stats. He calls
yeah.
them misuse of stats
yeah.
because you can say overall that unemployment is down 4.3 or 4.9 or whatever it was, but if you look deeper in the areas, you'll see that unemployment is high in different places, and so that's
why,
just an overall number.
But
we don't think people don't think on those tiers, on those levels deeper. Like, oh, it's down that low, but my friends across the street aren't working. You know, so.
Yeah, well,
like
you've always said, they've always had a saying: statistics don't lie, people lie. So yeah, hey man, like I said. We had an incident that went real viral, man. Maybe King Pendleton and some of them, if they're listening this morning, they want to call in and clarify. Officer out there on Franklin beat a black man down pretty bad. 79,000 hits last night. By the way, again, our number 347-426-3904. Again, 347-426-3904. Ron and Don program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Yeah, officer, older black man, kicked him all in the groin and his testicles and everything, knocked him to the ground, and et cetera. So, yeah, they said he was got mental health problems. That's always looked like a good one other than the color of your skin. So we got that one. It's gone real viral. I'll tell you who has really been fired up on this is the woman that heads up the organization against police brutality, if you will, Michelle Gross. Remember her, Michelle Gross?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michelle Gross has really been pumping that up. It's, like I said, a lot of hits. Whipped the brother, beat him out there pretty bad. I assume get away with it. So we got that going. We got a big delegation from our Minneapolis Police Department. We don't want to miss that. Want to entertain any questions on that. Down in Orlando, Florida, buddy. The American Association of Police Chiefs or something like that, they're all down there. And this comes at a time, as I said earlier, where Chief Mandela Arredondo is supposed to be meeting. I don't want to give the date away. but he's going to be meeting with the chief, with the mayor of the city of Minneapolis, I think, to determine his fate because his term is up at the end of December. So, hey, man, we got a lot of stuff. These phone lines are open on this early Saturday morning. I assume everybody's
opened up
and minds are fresh. What else we got, Don? What else you got with regards to Kavanaugh? I figure he makes it 51-49. Is that your man?
Yeah. Oh, I think he's in there. Mr. Erwin, okay. I just found that video.
Did you?
It is disgusting what they are doing to this guy in a driveway in the middle of the street.
That's what everyone says. That happened at 11 o'clock, Don, just so you know, that happened at 11 o'clock afternoon, yesterday afternoon, and there was no coverage on the media and et cetera, but it's gone so viral, I guess, the media talked about it maybe at 6 this morning, 6:30 this morning. Yeah, well, you got it there. You called it up on the websites and et cetera. Yeah, they whipped him up pretty good, but hey, you know, it'll be whitewashed, no doubt about it. And we understand a couple of our activists have kind of said, oh, yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, what is that yellow thing in his back, yellow thing being the taser. So, yeah, so we got that here in Minneapolis, another black man that beaten pretty badly, if you will. But you know, back to the Kavanaugh, the Bill Cosby thing, we got that going. Republicans, hey, you guys should, you know, give a sigh of relief, man, because Big Donald, the president, pushed it on through, man. So, and we got a couple other Supreme Court justices, you know, they're at that age, they could have a sudden heart attack. It all depends on what Vladimir Putin tells us to do. I mean, he tells them to do. But what else we got, man? What else we got, man? What else we got hitting on?
Well, I have some friends that live over north, Mr. Edwards, and, you know, when they call me or I talk to them or see them, they always say that, man, we had to get on the floor the other night in the area right off, I'm saying 10 and, shit, not too far, excuse my phrase, right behind that CVS up there. And
yeah, those are called the lower and upper 30s and 40s, and
yeah.
Go by the addresses. Is that surprising to him? Yeah.
No, it's not surprising to him, but
we've had a person shot every day since January 1st. They just not really laying it out. We've had a person shot basically every day. I'm talking about some kind of shot. Serious or shot in the leg, shot in the arm, shot in the back. Yeah. There's a lot of shooting going on, man. But, you know, special community units are out there, and they say they got a handle on it, got everything taken care of. Under the leadership of Deputy Chief Art Knight. Deputy Chief Art Knight. It's called Knight's Rider.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
Knight's Rider.
I did not know
they're
that.
Out there. You haven't heard about it? You haven't seen about it? Yeah, man. Yeah,
They're
out there, and they're taking care of business, and got to we probably would have had some response on the beating of the brother yesterday over there on Lake Street in front of the grocery store. But like I said, they're all down in Orlando, Florida, man. Shit, big group up. Yes, sir, man. Some of your top people. So things are really kind of being, you know, taken care of. A lot of stuff going on. So I was hoping maybe we'd get Jamar Nelson or some of those folks to talk to us. I know Brother Jamar has been rope working and patrolling downtown Minneapolis to deal with the problems down there and et cetera. So it looks like, to me, everything is under control, man, according to what everybody's saying. And then, of course, he's incidents, you know, jump up, lurch up, and separate. Again, man, that phone line is open for anybody up this morning that wants to talk about what is going on. I'd like to get some points of view about what people feel about the permanent appointment of Mary Arredondo as chief of the department. As I said, his service is up on December 31st, you know, and I notice they haven't been talking much about that. I haven't seen the Boris Janey Tribune or any of those guys or girls over there writing anything about it. I don't know what that's about.
I'm trying to see we have people in the queue, Mr. Edwards. So I was clicking on them saying, hey, do you want to add something to the conversation? Oh no, we're just listening. I said, well, that's cool.
Oh, they're just listening.
But you know,
Yeah.
I was going through and trying to clean that up. But yeah, it'd be nice to, you know, if you want to call back, if I see you drop out and call back, I'll get you on the radio right away. Don't be shy. We're not going to bite you. We can't. We're on the radio. There's a lot of interesting craziness going on. But as I was telling you earlier, the friend of mine from over north just said that he thinks there's an uptick in all this craziness, this shooting and these robberies, strong-arm robberies, and to the point where he doesn't even walk around the corner to the drugstore there. He'll drive. He says he just doesn't want to be a victim of that.
That's really too bad. Well, they need to take that up with the mayor and their council persons. That'll be
what is the mayor doing?
And Cunningham.
I'm just wondering, what is the mayor doing, really? I mean, I have no idea.
You know, maybe that's something maybe we want to do on one of the Saturday programs is invite the mayor to talk to us about the next appointment of the next police chief. That would be a legitimate kind of thing. Maybe the mayor could come on and give us a little bit of time there and talk about what his vision is with regards to that and how he and the other politicians would be working closely with the next attorney general of the state of Minnesota. Though, I think it was last week you mentioned that the attorney general really stays on top of things dealing with nonprofits and, you know, operations and bad products and stuff like that. So I'm not sure to your question, what is the mayor doing? But the mayor does have, this is one of those folks in the queue, has a big chore coming up over the next 50 days. Right past the election, and that is a determination of the future of Chief Madera Arredondo. He has to reappoint him and give him permanent status, if you will. Now, by the way, your neighbors, your friends, though, that live in North Minneapolis, if they think it's bad now, wait until they open this new 200-bed corrections facility. You're aware of that, right?
Oh, yeah, I was reading about that. I went, OMG. That's going to be off the hook over there. Kind of like a dumping ground.
Yeah, in fact, let's just lay that out, too, for our folks in the pad, et cetera. Yeah, we've got St. Olaf's Nursing Home was bought by a group. I first broke that story on Tuesday on the last week on MTN. The facility was sold. The Lutheran Church went ahead and decided they needed to get out of the area, if you will. And so a Caucasian group paid $1 million. A couple of black ministers offered $2 million and were turned down. But anyway, St. Olaf's will become a 200-bed Department of Corrections facility. And those folks will be up there in the neighborhood, if you will. So the lines are open about that because there was a public hearing. Former council member Natalie Johnson Lee and a small group down to kind of testify before the give absolute transparency before the planning commission, in which by the way, one of our elected black officials, Ms. Kim Ellison, is on that board. And on a 5-3 vote, they voted to move ahead with the permit and et cetera, though they delayed it for 60 days. This is information coming from the Ron and Don program, a 60-day moratorium, and there will be a final meeting on the I think it's the 13th of November. For those that are out there listening and don't want to call in and raise any questions. So we're going to have a new 200-bed prison facility. The old St. Olaf nursing home, if you will, that will be up and running. By the way, the people that will be controlling this, and they've been buying up property left and right. That's another thing, Don, and you've talked about that a couple of times. you know, man, people are real quiet about the amount of property that is being bought up in North Minneapolis, kind of freezing the black community out. So this group, by the way, their business office is at 35th and Penn, 35th and Penn. You know, Don, we had the guy on our program. We had the big guy on our program here about 4 years ago. Yeah, you brought him on.
The big guy.
You remember that?
I'm trying to I'm trying to figure out who that big guy was.
He has an operation and buying up property and allegedly hiring people. I think his last name was Johnson. Yeah, not to be confused with the guy that was on a couple of weeks ago and kind of gave us bad information about what he was the head of, that he was the top guy, president of the Alphas or the Capitals or somebody. Yeah, but back to St. Olaf's. Yeah, the guy in question, we had him on this program about 3 years ago.
I'm going to go back in the archives.
Yeah, go back in the archives. Check it out. But what else we got, man? There's so much news out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, also, you know, Mr. Edwards, there's a young lady on Facebook who I'm sure is listening because I asked her to listen. I even asked her to call in. And I posted a story that came out yesterday, if I could find it here, about Congressman Ellison and kind of what was happening. And she beelined it. It says, Betsy Hodges wrote a story. It says, "Without reservations, we support Keith Ellison," by Betsy Hodges on this news agency called The Medium. The Medium, it's only online, it's not print. And this young lady, you know, my question was, who was we? Who are we? Betsy Hodges, former mayor of Minneapolis, define we. Because, you know, the Betsy Hodges, R.T. Ryback, a couple of city council members.
Yeah, her husband.
Her husband, Cunningham, all them. Those people are ultra-conservative. Okay? They're not Democrats.
Uh-huh.
They're ultra-conservative. And so I'm reading this, and I'm going, okay, granted, let's say that this didn't happen. Let's say that Karen Monahan is not being truthful, okay, and that Keith Ellison is being truthful. I don't have to judge
Professor Ford. Professor Ford wasn't honest. Gotcha.
Okay. I don't have to judge my respect or loyalties on either side of the fence there. So if he didn't do it, it didn't do it. If he did do it, he did do it. But there's opposite standards. There's double standards for folks. And so I'm saying, they did an investigation, but that investigation was skewed. It was done by the DFL. So what's next? I personally think, Mr. Edwards, that this young lady, Monahan, is sitting in the cut and is going to spring something on us. Okay, I don't know what that is. I don't know
Don, do this, man. Maybe we'll get some calls. But I don't want to cut you off, but it was December 11, 2017, here on the Don and Ron program on a Wednesday night. Didn't you break the story that earlier in the day that Monahan had said on her website that there had been some abuse at a center? Take us back a little bit on that one, Don, because I remember when we booked that in. I know that Fox News and some others went back and into the archives and found that. What was your take on that back on December 11th of last year?
Well, you just don't write that on a public Facebook page unless there's some catch to it, because the specificity that she wrote it and the paragraph, long paragraph, that went into detail about her feelings, what was happening to her, the alleged abuse, and then all of a sudden, poof, she disappeared it. But I posted it because that's what I read, and then I talked about it that night on the show. So there's something going on. I mean, you and I might not be privileged to understand the inside working, but there's something going
on. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
I heard you kind of cut off. It was like something cut you off there. December 11, 2017, on the Don and Ron program, DNR, R&D, whatever, that we kind of broke that story. And then a couple months later, there was a story on Keith Ellison was come under attack from some right-wing Jewish activist Zionist who had maintained that he had betrayed information in the course of the Obama administration working on the Iranian nuclear deal, and that was as early as to 2015. And then was repeated in an early edition of the New York Times right around February of 2016. I know Star Tribune and St. Paul Dispatch have been ducking what that was all about, because a thing that I've always been wondering about is that Keith Ellison, who is a Muslim, his two closest advisors are both Jewish. Sympathizers. First of all, they're Jewish and they're Zionists. That's the Kaplans, powerful people here, the big players in the Democratic Party, and they have been his advisors for years and years, if you will. In fact, there was a story that was suppressed about 13 years ago by a reporter named Randy First, Star Tribune, about a meeting over at Temple Israel and some statements that Keith made in which he indicated he wasn't too supported and enamored with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and some of the more radical Muslim groups. And I guess the Star Tribune decided to kind of suppress that because they had endorsed him, him being Keith. But that was about 13 years ago. And so questions have come up about what really happened and if there was some betrayal of the Obama administration, some individuals. And that's the reason that the New York Times and then our own Minneapolis Star Tribune in February of this year reprinted it. You can probably find it there on your website. But hey, that Ellison situation. By the way, I keep hearing people saying that Ellison and this guy Wardlow, that they're in a dead heat. That doesn't seem to be correct. Your Republican guy should be way in front.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He has no name recognition, number one, Mr. Edwards. Number two, I understand why he would be in front. I mean, he hasn't really reached out. Again, we have the media telling us this stuff, these random polls. They haven't polled anybody in the hood. Okay, in reality, if you look at it. So, I mean, again, like the unemployment numbers, you have a misuse of stat. Because I don't think that Wardlow, I've never got a robocall. I don't know anybody that looks like me who's gotten a robocall from someone asking you who you would vote for and things like that. So I think all these polls in the Twin Cities metro area for the 5th Congressional District and for the state of Minnesota are skewed. And, I mean, if you go up to northern Minnesota, and you do a poll, I bet you Wardlow would come out on top. If you do it in the 5th Congressional District, Keith Ellison would come out on top. That's just
right,
a natural.
Certainly,
that's
certainly.
Just
I think
how
we all
they vote.
Agree on
so,
that. Yeah.
So
but
I go to these polls because I don't agree with
the polling tribune understands that, and they keep saying that it looked like a dead heat. Yeah. Well, again, the phone lines are open, man. Let's do this. Phone line is open. 347-426-3904. 347-426-3904. Ron and Don program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're talking about a variety of things, a multiplicity of things.
Yeah.
Any callers? If we get any call, Don, let's put them on.
I'll let them in right away. But, Mr. Edwards, let me ask you a question. There's a headline in the Star Tribune talking about citing conflict, Minneapolis police won't look into claim against Keith Ellison. Now, isn't that opposite of what the union or the federation president was saying a few weeks ago? That aired on,
well,
we
well,
talked about
the
on the show.
Well, the federation
president,
of course, though he represents the 80%, 90% of the rank and file, he doesn't run the police department per se. I think if you go back and take a real close look at that statement, that was something that was crafted and caught everybody off guard coming from a Republican elected official, my good friend Jim Maxson out there in Dakota County. I mean, he said something that was absolutely as what is popular now, precedent, when he said that would not handle any kind of investigation done by some other entity unless it was done by a properly certified law enforcement institution. And he was on good, firm legal ground there. Susan Siegel, talking about who had referred the matter to him, allegedly to stay away from our conflict of interest because Keith Ellison's son is a member of the Minneapolis City Council, which Susan Siegel will report to. I think that was a rather clever move by all parties concerned, Democrats and Republicans, Don, the radicals and conservatives and et cetera, to make it appear that they really wanted to continue an in-depth examination of the allegations against the congressman by not only our Karen Monahan. You also remember the African-American woman at that time named Amy Alexander. You remember her, don't you, Don? You remember her?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've had her on these programs a couple times a number of years ago after she relocated to our England. And so we just want to be transparent here on the Ron and Don program that we had Miss Alexander on our program a couple of times from overseas. But anyways, back to your question about the Minneapolis Police Department, I'm not surprised that that the mayor of the city would tell the chief and the department that nope, we're not going to investigate anything. I mean these people, as you both times pointed out, these people are all of the same political cut and persuasion, Democrats, and so what more can you expect? But I think that old Jim out there in Dakota County did a real smooth thing when he said we need to get a legitimate law enforcement certified or law enforcement entity like the Sheriff's Department under Big Rich Stanek or the Sheriff's Department out there in Dakota County or the Sheriff's Department in Fairborn County. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, now, Keith, you forgot to mention now, you know, from the right there. Come on, Don. Keith has asked the Ethics Committee of the Congress of the United States to conduct an investigation of him, which will not be done anytime soon. Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah,
not until after
that itself 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Not to cut you off, man, because Karen Monahan made an interesting point in a copyrighted story. This is not something that Ron and Don made up. In a copyrighted story in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, she chastised the congressman by saying that he knew by making that recommendation that there would not be enough time, and that beside that, on December 31st of this year, he will be leaving the United States Congress, and that means there's nothing they can do with him. Yeah. So I know that everybody's been playing with that, et cetera. We got a call?
Yes, we do. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead. Calling. What's up?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, friend of the show, Mr. N, Agent M. How are you, sir?
Very good. Very, very good. Very good. I've just, you know, have to listen to you guys in the morning to absorb a lot of the things that I haven't heard during the week so that I can add, you know, the pieces that you gentlemen bring to the things that are going on. It's really... You know, I guess my assessment of what's going on, I mean, the political arena, national, local, I guess it's so hard to sort out because all I'm seeing is so much mud being slung in every direction. I never get to how competent these candidates are. I mean, what are they going to bring to our communities? What are they going to do to,
good point,
you know,
Good point.
You know, we just get to the mudslinging. So it's really very, 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 very depressing to me.
Yeah. It looks like that's what has happened in America. It looks like that we've degraded ourselves down to that level. But, you know, as black folks, really nothing we can do about it.
There always has to be a bad guy. You know, there's always, you know, I mean, like this phobia, you know, with Muslims, and I see a lot of things ranting and ravings how they're going to take over our country and jihad. They're not going to take over this country. I mean, in their country, what do they have? Sticks and rocks? They're going to come over here with sticks and rocks and take over? That's not going to happen. I mean, it's just...
That's right.
This mass hysteria is just—it's just really hard to wade through all of this.
Let me answer the question here, because Don and I have been talking about from the left and the right. Now, what's your take on Kavanaugh? They're going to vote him in this morning. What's your take on that, though? Do you think that Dr. Ford, do you think that she was anywhere close to being credible? Or what's your take as a long-time experienced individual who watches the American scene?
I guess in watching her, you know, for the most part, I mean, for her to stand up there and do what she did, I mean, I think there has to be a degree of credibility. I mean, her presentation to me was a little bit over the top. I mean, the tear. This is a professor. I mean, this is a tough person. You know, I mean, as far as going through all the educational rigors and all
and
the
in standards. The specific discipline that she's in, the discipline of psychiatry and sexual abuse and etc. Yeah, go ahead. It's interesting to hear your observation.
What?
Exactly. So, I mean, I think there's certainly something there that this is definitely a flawed candidate for the position of, you know, justice of the Supreme Court. I mean, I haven't got to any issues of who he is, what he is. They say they've known him, and the mere fact for me that he's a Trump candidate, I mean, it's flawed to me. It's flawed.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a chance to watch his first testimony when he was very kind of laid back and evasive. He was very evasive and et cetera. I watched all of that hearing. But what do you think happened when he kind of lost his composure? Or do you think that he lost his composure in that second testimony when he went off and he raised the issue of the Clinton? He kind of went over the line, and some said. But what's your take as an example when he really went off? I mean, he was ready to carry some calls some people SOBs and anything else. But what was your take? Do you think he showed the kind of demeanor that one would expect of a Supreme Court justice?
No, he fell apart. I mean, he fell apart under the questioning and under the pressure. And I think that in itself, you know, shows that he's a flawed candidate. But what's so depressing to me about the whole affair is that these politicians who initially, now you remember now the Trump candidacy when he was running for president, how this was ridiculous. Matter of fact, he didn't even align himself with the Republican Party, as I recall. They saw him as something that they didn't want to be bothered with. But once he's gotten in, it's just amazing how they can just fall in line. And all of a sudden, the ones that came out with more than negative statements about the man, now, oh, everything's fine. Everything,
kiss his ring. They kiss his ring, don't they? Yeah, yeah. On a Saturday morning.
That disingenuous of the politicians is what I'm really afraid of.
Do you think that the institution known as the Supreme Court of the United States, you think it's been somewhat tainted? And
of course.
You think it'll recover? I saw quite a bit of discussion late last night and early this morning from the experts. Those are the experts. They're saying that Susan Collins, who of course capitulated and kind of bent, was saying that what's important is that, you know, we reach across the aisle and all of the other kind of kumbala. Do you think that that's a possibility? Or do you think that this democratic institution has lost its way and its viability and etc. I mean, as a citizen, what's your take on it?
Well, it's become a sham. It's become a sham. I mean, this whole process, I mean, you know, the Supreme Court, what it is just a power grab. And what it is that I think we have some people that see they're kind of at the end of their rope. And so they're, you know, that this country is changing. I mean, the color of this country is changing.
Oops,
and I think
there's
a lot of fear has been set in because of that. And so I think that the process is the last stand.
Do you think that the white man is angry? You think the white man is angry?
Very much.
And is upset that his dominion is being challenged. And, Don, what's your thinking on that? I mean, you know a lot of these Republicans, big, powerful white guys and et cetera, do they kind of talk about that? Do they feel that their dominion has been stepped on and we're going to get, as the Donald said, as part of a dog whistle, you know, we're going to make America great again, right, gentlemen?
Magma. But see, I know those big, powerful white Democrats feel like some of their stuff is being treaded on, as well as a big, powerful white Republican. And so,
we got two groups of white men.
Yeah.
Democrat and Republican, left and right. So I knew Don would get that in. He had to do that, and I think that's just great. So tell me about some of the big white Democrats, Don, that you think are feeling that this is unnecessary. The future of the Democratic and Republican Party is in jeopardy.
I think people like Bernie Sanders are really worried, you know, about the direction of the Democratic Party of the United States, the infiltration of Hispanic Latinos, Black Americans, Asian Americans, and the people that might change the culture inside the DFL. The colors have been
the supportive base of the Democratic Party since 1932. I mean, come on.
I think their loyalties are people that look like us. I think some of our loyalties are in the wrong place, you know, and at any time anybody can have an opinion, but you know, if you don't read or look into or research, like what Em said earlier, let's stop the mudslinging for a minute and let's actually ask these candidates what they're going to do, what they're prepared to do. And we seem to do that. And as you know, here in the Twin Cities, Mr. Edwards, a smile and a promise equals a vote. No matter if that promise.
Last week, Don, we had a Democrat on. I don't really remember him telling us anything he really was going to do. I thought that you gave him, you know, some big softballs there to kind of hit. He could have done some things. And then the next day on another program on an urban station, he, you know, came out really pumped up about what the Democrats are going to do. I think I'm like him. I've heard him say this before. I don't think that either party has done anything for the sons and daughters of the African. You know, I just think we're considered to be a toy to be played with. You know, I can remember a conversation we had on these programs about 3 years ago when Nakima Libby Pounce and some of them went over and demanded that they be given the money and that the traditional Black Democrats, remember that, Em? Don't get the money. And that they should get the money, and the governor Dayton, Mark Dayton, set aside, what was it, Don, $77 million?
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
You got it there on your computer. Yeah,
but I don't even know where that money went, to tell you the truth.
We have a situation in our, particularly in the Twin Cities, Minnesota area, of disappearing money. I mean, this is not a new phenomena, you know, vanishing funds, I mean, that go into a pot somewhere and disappear and never get to, the people. I mean, example too, not to change the subject too much, but, you know, I have occasion to drive by the Franklin area, Cedar, Riverside area quite regularly on my travels, and I see a growing homeless tent city that continues to grow.
Yeah.
And every time I go past there, there's more and more and more people, and I'm beginning to think that I've heard rumors that there's a lot of illness, sickness being passed around in that area.
Oh, three people have died there in the last 3 weeks, including the last death that was officially made known. I have to tell you, gentlemen, that there have been more deaths than that, but I'm not at liberty to go into that great detail. We had a young mother of 8 children who died.
Mm.
That was the most recent of certified death there at the camp. In fact, there's been some kind of vigilante action going on over there under this guy, Cross is his name, former convicted drug activist, etc. And, that's a damn good point, because initially the city was going to empty that camp on the 25th.
I think they would be putting a lot of people at risk if there is
I concur with you. Have you been over to the camp? Have you actually gone into the facility?
Oh, no.
Because they got a police officer there by the name of Grant Snyder, who is kind of bringing in the clean needles and et cetera. It's kind of follows the, well, remember the program, The Wire, and the place called Amsterdam. And this Grant Schneider, white officer, white guy, he's been bringing in the needles and other things. So he did also get those nice looking tents and et cetera. But I'm with you. I don't know what Don's thinking yet. That they've got themselves in a bind because, like, this kind of weather, damp, wet kind of weather, you got,
breeding grounds. Children. I mean, now they, you know, you go there and, you know, the funny thing is it continues to grow, and it started kind of against the barrier, the walls that they would have kind of as
that's
shelter.
That's right. That's right.
And now it's nearly
now over 500. It's now over 500.
Yeah. Nearly all the way out to the street level, you know, and it's just
that's right, yeah.
Continues to multiply, and I don't know that our great politicians and our leaders really have the wherewithal to deal with.
Right. Now, you heard me make the announcement earlier that we've got a new 200-bed Department of Corrections facility coming in right there at the old St. Olaf campus there on 29th and between Fremont and Emerson. What's your take on that? I mean, you worked in an area
County. The timing of that is certainly suspect, and the location is suspect because I can remember as a kid, they used to have, you know, when people would get a disease called tuberculosis, okay?
Yeah.
That was more rampant. I mean, they've kind of rooted that out in today's world. But back then, they would put you in what they would call a sanitarium, and they would sequester you.
That's right.
Okay, now the initial one, the one here, Glen Lake Sanitarium, guess where that was? You know where it was, Mr. Edwards. It was in Minnesota.
It was right there, right around the lake, around Theodore Worth.
Minnetonka.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right there on our, the street coming down the hill towards the park. Yeah, towards Theodore Wood. Yeah, and you're right. The term was sanitarium. In fact, that building is still in existence, and it's kind of a dark, forbidding place. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Something that you probably don't know is that my father had tuberculosis, and he was taken, and he spent 2 years in that sanitarium.
He used to
go up there as kids after church every Sunday and play shuffleboard with Dad at that sanitarium. But I say all that to say, now they're putting this in North Minneapolis. They're putting, you know,
yeah,
I mean.
200 beds. And now this former councilwoman, that was Natalie Johnson, Lee, did go down there with a small group and try to deal with it. They did force our planning commission, who Ellison sits on the board, Kim Ellison, we all know Kim, a member of the Board of Education. That's how she acquired her seat. And it was ugly down there. Now, the media didn't give a lot of information. Don, I know you probably get some calls and et cetera, folks, but they don't want to come on the air. They don't want to talk about it. So, Johnson Lee, former councilwoman, one-term councilwoman, but oh my God, 20 years ago, damn near. They raised the questions, and so there is a moratorium, but there'll be a final vote on the 13th of November to allow that facility. Now, what's happened is that I had promised I would name the ministers. Two African American congregations and two big, powerful African American ministers offered $2 million for that site and were turned down. And then St. Olaf sold it to Dejans, who have offices right there at 35th and Penn, for $1 million. And they, in fact, brought some of the individuals who are under the custody and control of the Department of Corrections, white gentlemen, into the meeting, and they talked about what a wonderful experience and how they're going to be working with the kids, and et cetera. I bet they will.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was looking for quite some time. Don, I was expecting some kind of article here in the last 4 or 5 days, you know, kind of talking about that there was some community resistance. One of the people was Lisa Delgado, who ran a real good race against Ray Dean in the Democratic primary, and she was one of the few people that went down with Natalie Johnson Lee and a couple other people. But man, the media has been absolutely silent on this, and I can tell you, you know, that is a very well fortified building up there, St. Olaf, that whole campus.
And, where exactly is that?
29th between Emerson and Fremont, man. You see it all the time. Big, beautiful building. Big, beautiful campus. Yeah. Was controlled by the Lutheran Church for a number of years. They built it up there. Yeah, right there. And they started letting black people become residents / patients about, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago. No longer than that. But, yeah. And I've pushed it a couple times on some of my radio programs, and man, I can't get nobody to bite, man. And I said, yeah, you got a 200-bed prison facility actually under the control of the Department of Corrections. And Don knows as well as I do that this comes on the heels of that part of, and Em, you certainly have appreciation of it, is that a couple thousand square feet of that footage up there at the world headquarters of the poor construction empire, the Department of Probation et cetera, have their offices there. It makes it more easy for folks on the north side to access, you know, their favorite probation officer. If you go into the building, I don't know if you went there when they had the opening ceremony and talking about the history and et cetera, but people were kind of looking at the new facility that the probation, parole, whatever department of the county has, man. Yes, sir. So you won't have to walk far from the facility in St. Olaf. Just walk down about 9 blocks, kind of walk up Plymouth, about 4 or 5 blocks, check in with your parole officer.
Wow. Well, gentlemen, I know you're at the end of the show, but if I could just want one more thing, if I could just briefly.
Sure, go right ahead, man. You're still there, Don? You're
say,
Don's still down today. They're calling down left and right. Go ahead.
I am here.
I just want to say something about the the passing of the great Don Hudson. You know, the coach, you know, he came to Minnesota, coached at Minneapolis Central, and what I didn't realize is he was the first black man to actually coach at a white college, at McAllister. You know, I knew Mr. Hudson, it was so funny knowing him because he was a little guy. You wouldn't think of him as a football guy.
About 5'6", that's right. That's right.
Just a wonderful guy. And I believe that he got to Central. I believe Joyce Jackson hired him to be the coach at Central.
That's the way I understand it,
And she was just she passed just recently. And I tell you, you know, we lose people like this. And I couldn't I'd be remiss if not saying anything about.
And her brother, Dr. John Taborn, passed about a year and a half ago. Tim, you're absolutely correct that you guys that grew up in that community out there. They never should have shut Central down. They took a lot away from you.
That was a big blow to our community, and it was done. I think there was diabolical forces behind that, and the person from the community.
Yeah.
I don't have time to go into that right now, but hopefully maybe.
And we've got to move it on. Appreciate you calling, man, and the best with your Scott collection and. We'll probably maybe even talk to you next week. All right. Hey, Mr. Allen, take us on home, man. What do we got? 2 minutes?
We got one minute left.
We don't want to cut off too soon.
Yep, 1 minute left. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
You won't.
All right. Take care, my brother.
You as
all
I
right.
Need you eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.